1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. Today is the resurrection day of our Lord. You say, well, how do you know that? We know that because of the feasts of Israel in the Old Testament. Jesus died on Passover Day. That was the day that the Lamb was slain. He was our final Passover. Thank God for that. And he was buried. But I'm telling you, he rose again. And I want to preach about this great truth this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then ye also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished, they also. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Praise God. I just want to preach a little bit this morning. With the resurrection, we have everything we need today. Praise God. We have everything that we need today. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. We thank you for the truth today. We ask you to anoint the word of God, anoint the preaching this morning. Let it find its mark in our hearts and stir us, Lord. Stir us, because eternity is coming very soon. And we ask it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. We are very blessed today. And one of the reasons, or the most important reason here this morning, is that what we believe includes the resurrection. If we were to look at all the religions of the world and all of the different beliefs that are in our world today, and I won't go through those, you'll find that there is someone that started that religion or started that philosophy, and that person lived a certain amount of time and then they died. The grave is there. We know where they are buried, and that's about all there is to it. When we come to Christianity and we come to Jesus Christ, it's a totally different situation. Amen. There are many that have come before him, and those that have come after him, who have espoused a particular philosophy or a particular belief. But when you look at Jesus Christ, it's totally, completely different. He never wrote a single book. Amen. The words that are written about him in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, basically recounting the same things, would probably be a very small paperback book in our day today. Not very much is written about him, not very much, and in fact, he did not write anything nor leave anything behind. We have no proof of his burial place. I've been to the country of Israel, and they think that they know where it is, but there is a lot of obscurity and all of that. And you say, how can one man in the course of the history of humankind have such a tremendous impact upon the world? Amen. How is it that the sign of the cross, has such meaning and such power. But it goes beyond that. It goes all the way to the resurrection. Amen. We serve a great God this morning. And when he came to establish his church upon this world, he did not make it a weak and anemic church. Well, praise the Lord. But he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what he said. And it is founded upon the truth that there is only one God. There's only one God this morning. And that great God of heaven came down and robed himself in flesh and went to Calvary and then rose again after 3 days. That's why our leader does not have a burial place. Praise God. We don't know where it is today. Some say they do, but they really don't. Amen. That's why. Because our God has risen. Amen. Our Savior and Lord has risen. No one else can claim this, but we can claim it this morning. And the word resurrection in the scripture comes from a word that means to stand up again. Amen. It means a resurrection from the dead. Amen. It's talking about a recovery. A recovery or raised to life again. Amen. And so what we need to see is why this all took place. Why there is the need of a resurrection and why there is the need for the gospel and the importance of it. Well, it goes back to the scripture that we read this morning where the Bible talks about the resurrection of the dead. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we are celebrating today. Amen. And he says, in one man, that would be Adam, in one man all have died. Amen. By man came death. Amen. And in Adam all die. That's exactly the very reason that we are here today. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. The penalty of sin is death. It is not just a physical death, and that's what came into this world, because when God made man, he made man to live forever. But when they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all of a sudden sin came into the world. Praise God. Sin came into the world and sin brought death with it. It's not just a matter of what you do in your private home. It is a matter of what we do before God. Amen. It's a matter of what we do in our life and how we live our lives. I want to live my life for Jesus because he's the only one that has the resurrection in his hand. And if I die without him, there will be no resurrection for eternal life, but it will be a resurrection for eternal death. Praise God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so this death was a spiritual death that hastened the physical death of mankind. It hastened the physical death of Adam and Eve. And then when they had children, that seed of death passed to them and their children and their children. Praise God. And for many today, death is a permanent thing. For many in our world today, death is a very painful thing. For all of us, it is a very painful thing to lose a loved one. We avoid it. We're all concerned about our health situation. Much has been spoken about health care because we don't want to die. We don't want to go down. Some have even come to the place where They feel like they have discovered the God gene. And if they can get your DNA and flip a switch, that you will never die. And it is the fool's way. It is the way that man is trying to circumvent God and circumvent morality and circumvent righteousness. But I'm telling you this morning, there is no way to avoid death. It comes to the young and it comes to the old and it comes to everyone in between. Death is a reality in our life and in our world today. And when we look at this situation, we must have salvation. We've got to have salvation from this death. Praise God. And thank God, God cared enough about us not to leave us in our failures, not to leave us in our shortcomings. Praise God. Because Adam and Eve failed. They fell short. But God in His love, because the Bible says God is love, God in His love did not leave us in the place where we could not do anything about this situation. No, He came and He robed Himself in humanity. He became one of us. He walked among us. He talked to us. He cared about us. He healed us. He delivered us. Well, praise God. Amen. Whatever the need was, He met that need. He supplied that need because we have a God today who cares about us. We have a God who cares about the young. We have a God who cares about the old. Amen. God cares about your family. God cares about your neighbor. God cares about you. Praise the Lord. He really does. And so He robed Himself in flesh and came to this world and healed and preached and taught and got 12 disciples that He ministered to and spoke to and gave them the Word of God. And when it was all said and done, He ascended into heaven and He left this great resurrection, amen, for you and I. It's not just a story about God who came and went to the cross and died. Oh, I was stirred this morning when I heard that song. I'm telling you, his hands were pierced because of me. His side was pierced because of me. Amen. The things that He went through was because of my sin. And when I look at it and when I understand what God did for me, I'm telling you, it's an overwhelming thing. But more than that, it's a very exciting thing because now I've got an opportunity. Now I've got an opportunity to do what's right. I've got an opportunity to be free. Praise God. Got an opportunity to be free from death. I don't have to worry about death anymore. I don't have to worry about dying anymore. Well, praise God. Don't have to worry about these things that that afflict all of us because we have come to a higher place. We have come to the resurrection. Well, praise God. And it's more than just believing a story. It's more than just reading about a story in the Word of God. Amen. It's actually experiencing the resurrection. Paul wrote about it in the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. He says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. We are saved by the gospel today. And it's more than just believing in the gospel. It's more than just saying, I believe that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that He rose again. There is more to it than that. If that's all it was just a simple belief in our heart, then Christianity would be no different than any other religion in the world. But when you understand the power of the gospel and the need for the gospel in our lives, it's going to take it from a mental exercise of saying, I believe this and I accept this as truth. It will go from a mental exercise to a spiritual experience. Well, praise God. Because I'm telling you today, God did not come with a mental exercise. He did not save us with a mental exercise. Oh, I feel it this morning. I'm telling you what he did. He went through that passion of Calvary. He came to this world, and the Bible talks about him, and it says that he was a man of sorrows, a man who was acquainted with grief. Grief means that you lose people that you love. That's what happens when you grieve. Amen. When Lazarus, who was a good friend of his, died, the Bible says he wept. You know why? Because he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He gave and he gave and he gave and he gave, and many turned their back upon him. There was a time when the Bible says all of his disciples turned, and or many of them turned and walked with him no more. Don't tell me that God is an impersonal God. He's not. He's a very personal God. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows when a sparrow falls from the sky. He's a very personal, very loving God. Amen. And when those people left him, he experienced grief. He experienced sorrow because he understood where they were headed without him. Amen. And when the time came and he was betrayed by Judas, it was not a cold-hearted situation. It was not an emotionless situation. No, but it was his passion. The Bible talks about it as his passion. Amen. Not passion as far as zeal is concerned, but passion in that it was at the extreme limits of human experience. There was no way that this could just be another event in his life. There was no way that this could just be another situation that he went through. Amen. It was not something here where God came down and shielded himself from pain, where he shielded himself from rejection, the feeling of rejection, where he shielded himself and he went to the cross and he died and it was no big deal. It was just another day or another situation. But I'm telling you what it was his passion. And when they slapped him in the face, amen, it was very painful. His face turned red. It hurt. It was very painful. When they put the crown of thorns upon his head, it was probably more than he could imagine. Amen. It was probably more pain than he realized that he could experience in his life. As they drove them down into his head, those long thorns. Amen. And the blood began to flow down his face, the blood of Jesus Christ. And then as he was going through this passion situation, he experienced someone walking up to him and spitting in his face. And then slapping his face. And then someone grabbing him by the beard and pulling the hairs out of his face. Amen. Because of hatred. Hatred of God. Hatred of the ways of God. Hatred of the plan of God. Amen. And grabbed that hair and pulled it out. And as they did, no doubt the blood came out again. And then they took him to the whipping post and tied him there. And for 40 times, that strong-armed Roman soldier with a cat of nine tails began to beat the back of Jesus Christ, began to scourge him. Many in that day did not survive the ordeal of a scourging. But you can only imagine the very first strike upon his back as that cat of nine tails, began to cut into his flesh. It was a whip with nine strands. At the end of each strand were tied bits of sharp glass or rock. And so when the victim was struck, it would literally wrap around his side and the soldier would pull it back and it would tear and it would cut. I'm telling you today, it was not a situation where God came down and just said, this is just another day. This is just another experience. But the great God of heaven went through the pain. He went through the suffering of death. He went through everything, amen, to show you and I how brutal and how ugly and how terrible sin is. It gives us a very small glimpse of what hell will be like. Of those who decide not to serve God and live for God. The pain and the torment and the suffering. I'm telling you today, we don't have to go to that place called hell. We don't have to go to that place of eternal suffering because there is one who came and suffered for us. He came in my place so I would not have to go there. He came in my place so I could stand up again. Amen. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I feel this in my heart this morning. Amen. We're not just a patty cake in church around here. Well, praise God. We're not going to get together for the little babies and have an Easter egg hunt. I'm telling you what this is all about. It's about a Savior who came. It's about a God who robed himself in flesh so I would not have to spend a godless eternity. Well, praise God. Don't tell me he didn't hurt. He hurt. Don't tell me he didn't suffer. He suffered. Don't tell me it didn't cost him personally. It cost him very much to go to Calvary. And you say, well, that's great and that's fine. Amen. But I'm telling you this morning, it's more than a mental exercise to say, I believe this. That's not what salvation is all about. Oh, you've got to start there. You've got to start at that mental place of decision where you say, I believe this. And many do not believe this. And you would have to ask yourself the question today, why are so many people so against Christianity in our time right now? It's because of the resurrection. They hate this day. I remember listening many, many years ago to some talk show person. I believe it was in the city of Boston when we lived there. And they were talking about the cross, and they were talking about the Passion of Jesus Christ. And the man, the talk show host, said, well, I don't know how you feel about it, but he said Jesus was just another man who got himself hung on a cross. Well, I'm telling you, there were many, many thousands, tens of thousands, who were hung on crosses. In the Roman Empire, it was a way of showing their power and their authority. They say that at one point in time, there were so many crucifixions that on one of the roads to Rome, it was lined on either side with people who were crucified. And when you came into the city, you saw that. But there's not a list of names that we have today. No one knows who those people were that were crucified on those crosses. No one knows the names of the two thieves that were on either side of Jesus Christ. But there is something about our Lord. We all know His name. Well, praise God. And it was not recorded in a book somewhere. It was not recorded in a town hall. It was not recorded, amen, in the places where the government keeps all of their documents. It passed from one person to the next person. It went from one individual to another, and then eventually they wrote down their experiences, and we have that today. But it's much more than that. It's much more than a historical record. It's more than a mental exercise today. Paul said we are saved by the gospel. What that simply means today in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, that we are crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The real joy of living for God, amen, is the resurrection. But I'm telling you this morning, you cannot have a resurrection until you have a Calvary. There's no way to rise again from the dead until you die. And death is painful. And the death of the cross was painful. It was horrible. It was awful. Oh, the things that they did to him. I'm telling you, friend, if you ever get a picture of Calvary, it'll change your life. It will literally change your life. It'll set you on fire for God when you see what he did for us. But it's more than saying, go, Jesus, go. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. No, we must come to a place where we crucify ourselves. Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. And we look at our lives and we say, I'm a sinner. I need God. I'm lost without God. Is there anybody here this morning that's lost without God? I'm lost without God. This pastor's lost without God. I can't make it without him. And there's only one way that I can get there, that I can be with him for eternity, is I must go through the same passion that he went through. And I've got to find a place of true repentance where I say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm dying out to my old life. I'm dying out to my old way of living. I'm dying out to these things, these foolish sins in my life. Well, praise God. It'll cause you to weep. Amen. It'll cause you to break down. It'll cause your heart to be smitten when you come to a true place of repentance. God help us today. But we're living in that generation, amen, that doesn't really have much of a moral underpinning. Amen. But folks, oh God, help us here this morning. There's rights and there's wrongs. Amen. God's always right, and we're wrong. Amen. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In all of my years of pastoring, I've never pastored anyone that's sinless. In all my years of pastoring, I have never been sinless. You know why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thank God for the opportunity to be crucified with him. And then Romans 6 and 4, it says that we are buried with him in baptism. We are buried with him in baptism. The only way we can have a resurrection, think about this morning. I'm not going to preach much longer, but think about this morning. There is no way for there to be a resurrection, a real, genuine resurrection, where everybody is amazed, where everybody is excited, where there is something totally brand new that has taken place here until there is a death and a burial. It can't happen. It's an impossibility. The resurrection, just by the very nature of resurrection, there has to be a death and a burial. And so we are buried with him in baptism. Some say that baptism is not important. It is not necessary. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Amen. The Bible tells us that we are buried with him in baptism. And baptism is for the remission of sins. In other words, there is no way that a dead person can sin. Once you have died, the power of sin is broken. Once you are crucified with him, the power of sin is broken. That henceforth or hereafter we should not serve sin. It doesn't mean that sin is not around. It's still around. But the power of sin has been broken. And when we come to God in repentance, the power of sin is broken. That's why there has never been a revival in our world that was not preceded by great repentance. New Life Tabernacle, what we need more than anything is a time of repentance. Well, praise God. A time, amen, where we die with him He died for me. I need to die for him. Well, praise God. And then he was buried, and the sins were buried. Praise God. If we just died and fell over on the ground and then rose back up again, it would not mean the same thing. Because there has to be a place for those sins to go. There has to be a place. And so he was buried, and all of those sins were buried. All of the sins of the past generations, all of the sins of the present generation, all of the sins of the future generation were buried in that tomb. Oh, praise God. And he led captivity captive. Amen. He wrought the victory for you and I. And I'm telling you what will happen when you are baptized with him. Amen. Those sins are washed away. Those sins are remitted. You talk about a brand new start. How many of us, you don't have to lift your hand, but how many of us this morning have ever desired a brand new start? I wished I could change some things. I wished I could make some new decisions. I wish things were different. I made mistakes, and I wished I could have a brand new start. Amen. How many times have we said, I wish God would just stop the world and let me off? But for some reason, the world keeps turning, and he doesn't give us that option, does he? Amen. What we've got to do is deal with our situation. And oftentimes we deal with it, with things in this world that never satisfy. And we deal with our situations, with relationships and material possessions and chemical highs and all of the things that are available in our generation today. But it doesn't get any better, because the only way that you can have a brand new start is there has to be a resurrection. The resurrection is the standing up again. And the only way to stand up again is you have to fall. And the way that happens is through repentance and baptism. And then the resurrection takes place. Praise God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one mind and one accord. Amen. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's more than just an experience of speaking in tongues. It was more than just a good prayer meeting. Folks, we've got to understand what today represents, what it really means for us personally. We can stand up again. We can have a brand new start. Praise God. Why was it in that time, in that generation, that when the Christians were coming into a city, that the people, it was recorded that the people said, those who have turned the world upside down are coming hither. There they come. The city will never be the same because of these people. Is it because they heard some promotional, they were at some promotional seminar where they got all pumped up and excited? Folks, we don't have to have stuff to get us all pumped up and excited if we have a real resurrection. If we have experienced it for ourselves. Oh, thank God. On the third day, there was a moving in that tomb. There was a shuffling in that tomb, and no one saw it but God Almighty. And an angel from heaven came, and earthquake went through that area. The stone was rolled away. Amen. And the angel was sitting on the top of the stone. Wished I could have been there to see that. White like the brighter than the noonday sun, sitting on that stone. And they came with tears. They came with their heartache. Oh, the one that we had hoped in. the one that we really believed was going to help us. He's not here right now. Folks, don't ever get to the place where you don't believe that God cares about your situation. And they said, "Who are you looking for?" "We're looking for Jesus." And they looked inside. He wasn't there. And the wrapping that they had wrapped him with and the napkin that was on his face was all folded very neatly. I can almost see it now. After it was over with, the passion was over, the pain and the suffering was over. And now there's a brand new future. Now there's a church that's going to be birthed. Now the plan of God is coming into action, and I can almost see him, instead of just ripping it off and throwing it down, he just took the time and folded it very neatly and laid it down there as though to say, "There you go, devil." Amen. Amen. I'm not all disheveled. No, I'm the risen Savior. I have the keys to death, to hell, to the grave. I have the keys to your future, to blessings. I've got the key to it all. Amen. Scripture tells us in the book of Luke, I believe it is, there were two that were on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection, after the crucifixion, and they're walking down the road. "Come here and help me, Hunter." And they're walking down the road. This young man's always got a smile, but today we're going to be really sad. And they're walking down the road. "Man, I can't believe this. I can't believe these things have happened. How many years did he heal among us? How many months did we walk with him? You remember when he fed the 5,000? And now he's dead. How can that be?" And then they walked a little bit further. "I've been on the road to Emmaus, and it's just a dirt road. They're just walking down a common dirt road. What do you think about all this?" "You're not sure." "All right." And they just kept walking down the road with their heads down. And all of a sudden, somebody comes up. "Hey, fellas, how's it going?" "You can sit down." "Oh, well, why are you so sad? Why are your heads down? Why are you so sad?" "Well, who are you? Have you not been in this area lately in the last few days and heard the things that have happened?" "What things?" "Oh, God's so good." "Oh, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. We had hoped that he was the Savior. We had hoped that he was the Messiah. And now they have crucified him, and it's been 3 days since he was buried, and they have come and stolen his body, and we don't even know what to do. Our whole hope has been dashed, and everything that we were hoping for is gone." But my friend, that's not the way it is when there's a resurrection. And so they started walking together, and he said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And the Bible says from Moses, which was Genesis chapter 1, he went from Moses all the way through Malachi. The Bible says every single prophet, he gave them a Bible study as they were going down the road to Emmaus. And as he gave one scripture after another, oh, it must have taken some time, but he was back in Savior mode here, and he's given them the Word of God. And then all of a sudden, they come to a fork in the road, and he says, "Well, fellas, it's been really nice talking to you. Have a nice day." And he starts to go off in another direction. And they said, no, please, don't leave us. The day is far spent. They must have walked all day together. Talk about a great Bible study. And all day they'd walked together, and they said, "No, the sun is setting. Please come and eat at our place and turn in at our place for the night." Okay. And so he turns and goes into their house, and they get the meal ready. And when it's time to pray, he takes the bread and he breaks it, and he gives thanks. And they remember how he did that. "It's him!" And he disappeared. But what they said is very important for us here today, and I'm going to finish with this. They said, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked along the way? And I got a feeling this morning that somebody's heart is burning within you this morning. Because of sin. Sin will never satisfy. Sin will never make you happy. Sin will never satisfy your soul or lead you in a direction that is good. Come on, somebody help me right now. We just need to pray right now. Come on, somebody lift your voice with me this morning. I feel the Lord here today. God help us. God help us. We need your help this morning in this place. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. What you need this morning is a resurrection. I said, what you need this morning is a resurrection. Where you die in repentance, you are buried with him in baptism, and then the Bible says that we rise to walk in a newness of life. And the only way we can do that is to stand up again through the power of the resurrection. Can we do that right now? Can we stand together? I feel the Lord here this morning. I feel God in this place this morning. Praise God. Don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. Get God in your life. Let him make you into a brand new person. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He went to that cross and he suffered so very, very much. In a crucifixion situation, the person is nailed, the hands, the feet, and it's not very long until the muscles in the chest begin to constrict and they can't breathe. And they have to push up on their feet to get some relief so they can breathe. But the pain in the feet is so strong that they... And then they hang on their arms until they can't breathe, and then they stand back up again. My friend, don't ever believe that Calvary was just a simple situation that happened many, many years ago. But it was the expression of God and the love of God for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, he's going to freely give us all things. Praise God. Oh God, help us here this morning. My friend, I'm here to tell you, and you may remember this for eternity, that when you get to hell, you will wish a million times over that you could go to the altar and die. A million times over, you'll say, I would to God, I would have abandoned my life and gave it to God. Because it will be more suffering and more pain and more agony than you'll ever go through to enter into the kingdom of God. Why not take this morning and come to this altar and say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. It's great these young men are coming. What about you, Mom and Dad? Sir, ma'am? Just outside the door of the church. Just outside the door of the church. There's heartache. There's destruction. There's problems. We're threatened with nuclear war right now as we're speaking. we could see a major, major situation in our world. That's just outside the door of the church. But in the church, there's a place to pray, a place to call on God, and to die out to ourselves, so we can live unto God. Come on, let's pray. Come on, church, let's pray this morning. Come on, the Lord is moving here this morning. The Lord is moving here this morning. Come on, let's talk to God. Come on, men. Come on, let's ask God to help us right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Touch these that are at the altar this morning. Go ahead and just die out to yourself. Just abandon your life. Whoever saves his life is going to lose it. Whoever loses his life is going to save it. Why not just lose your life this morning? Why not lose your life this morning? Lose it for God. Lose it for God. Lose it for God.